Well, a good win for the Sharkies on the weekend in that match against the Eels. But there's a lot of stuff happening in rugby league, as there always is. State of Origin launch
always
yesterday. And it would have been interesting for Paul Gallen. Yeah. So standing on the outside looking in. Gal, I wonder how that was when you see all the State of Origin, the launch yesterday, and Aaron Woods has rolled out. That's usually your position. How does it feel to be on the outside? Morning, mate.
Hey, boys. Oh, yeah, look, it's part of it, I suppose. I knew last year when I was retired I wouldn't be doing that sort of stuff anymore. And, I didn't actually know the Origin launch was yesterday until I got home and saw it all over the news. So, it's good it's been spoken about already. It's obviously been spoken about pretty much from round one or two as far as selection
that's
go.
Right.
And it always seems to be to New South Wales. The Queensland side seems to be pretty settled. But there's a lot of blokes playing pretty well for New South Wales at the moment. So, it opens up a lot of talk about the side. And I think it can only be positive for the side as a whole.
Cooper Cronk was doing the photos for Queensland. Aaron Woods doing the photos for New South Wales. Does that mean Woods, he's got his nose in front of someone like a Boyd Cordner for the captaincy? Who would you anoint?
Yeah, look, I've said Boyd Cordner all along just because he plays virtually 80 minutes. He's out there for virtually the whole time, whereas Woods, he plays, he's a genuine front row. You know, he's playing somewhere between 50 and 55 minutes a game, maybe 60 minutes max. So, That's the only reason I've sort of put Boyd Cordner in front. But Boyd's had experience at it, as far as coming through the junior ranks as well and at the Roosters. Woodsy's done a pretty good job the last 2 years under pretty trying circumstances at the Tigers. So either one of them would be good. But, as I said, I don't know what yesterday was about, whether that does mean Woodsy's got the job or not. I don't think so. I think they'll get a bit of a leadership group to start with before they name an actual captain.
Yeah, and you want to make sure that they're available, like not injured or suspended.
Of course.
If you announce a captain and then they're not there, so you make the other bloke think, oh, sorry, mate, you're our second choice. But
yeah, that's right. And I think Woodsy's been pretty consistent there. I don't think he's missed a game since he's played, whereas Boyd's one of them guys who unfortunately runs into a couple of injuries in a season around that time. So fingers crossed for him. He can keep playing the way he is and being that side with no issues at all.
Hasn't he made a big start to the season?
Boyd
Cordner.
Playing really well, as is his team too. So.
Yeah, exactly.
We were talking about the Tigers and the Bulldogs and the way they've been playing and the impact of the coach and all that sort of thing. Gallen, we're having a fierce debate in here about who has the more talented roster, the Tigers or the Bulldogs. I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Oh, I just think from asking me that question right now without really going through it too much, I'd say the Bulldogs. Obviously we talk about this big four at the Tigers, and I think, to be fair to them, it's not them coming out and saying it, but you got Tedesco is an absolute superstar. Woods has played for his country and at Origin level as a front row, but the other two are sort of in that, I suppose, development phase, so I couldn't really put them in the same class as you put, guys like Mitchell Pearce or Cooper Cronk. And I think, the Bulldogs halves will obviously, Reynolds has played Origin level and by the good young player, pretty much like the other two, I think. So, but I just think the Dogs pack and outside backs, I think, on paper, certainly look better than the Tigers at the moment. But obviously, both sides just aren't winning, and it's only early days. That's what we've got to remember. It's only round four. I know it's pretty frustrating for all their fans because all they want to do is see wins every week from every side. But it's only 11 in the season, and I think certainly the Bulldogs have got enough cattle at that club to sort of win some games and push towards that top eight at the back end of the year.
It's hard, Gal, because we all say that's only early days, don't panic, but tell Jason Taylor that.
I can imagine. I'm more talking from a fan's point
of view. I understand.
100% right. It's a winning game we live in. You got to win, and wins are expected, and when you're not, things go wrong pretty quickly. There's a lot of pressure on Dez at the moment. Who knows if there really is or not, but obviously the media talk and the way that they play on the weekend, there's a fair bit of talk about Dez and his coaching job as well, but I think that just happens when one coach has been sacked and there's a bit of pressure on another side.
Sure. We're lucky enough to be chatting with Paul Gallen. Gal, I'm just, we often talk about this, he's lost the dressing room. The coach has lost the dressing room. Just from a personal point of view, would that be a conscious thing from a player to, stop listening to the coach, stop responding from the coach, or would it be, subconscious? Can it just think, it's just washing off me at the moment?
Oh, look, for me, it'd have to be subconscious. Look, I've just been trained my whole life since I've been 6 years old to listen to the coach. The coach is the boss. What he says goes. And I've never had a coach in my career that I haven't liked and that I feel hasn't lost the dressing room. And I've had two or three that have been sacked. So I always play for the coach. I've always had that attitude. And you know, I think you guys said last week you can't have the players running the asylum. And I think that goes for every club. You know, you've got to respect your coach. You've got to do what your coach says. You know, results, I suppose, will tell whether Jason Taylor really did lose the dressing room or not. And obviously, they didn't win on the weekend. But you know, hopefully that the new coach, Webster, can turn around and get some wins for the side. But, we'd have to wait and see how that year pans out, basically.
I think it's a terrible indictment on a player to stop playing just because he might not
if that happens, that's all.
I agree with you.
You know,
I mean, you've got to go out, and if you don't want to, if for some reason you decide you don't want to play for your coach, well, you got to play for your teammates. You don't just stop trying.
Absolutely.
You don't just stop trying and let your, you know, the other 17 or 16 guys on the field down. And then on top of that, if you're not happy with them either, you don't want to let yourself down. I mean, you've got to have pride in your own performance. You've got to walk off holding your head high and knowing that when you look in the mirror, when you walk off the field, you've done everything you can to win the game for your side. And you know, if you lose all that, well, you've basically lost your career. What's the point in playing?
Yeah, no, totally. Hey, RLPA meeting yesterday. I don't know whether you made that, Gal, but Cameron Smith elected as the new general president, and they're looking for that fixed revenue. Thoughts on that?
Oh, look, I think it's really moving forward, the Players Association. Obviously, it's been around for a long time now, and done their best to make some real inroads in the game and to make the game a real partnership between the players and the NRL. And look, they've done their best, but I think at the moment it's the best spot they've ever been in. I think a lot of the players are getting on board, which is absolutely imperative.
Yep.
And the players get behind it, because without the players, there is no RLPA. And I think in turn, from the NRL's point of view, they've got to remember without the players, there's no game either. You know, I think the two best commodities in the game are the players, number one, without a doubt. They're the product, and the fans. And I think the players deserve a revenue share in the game, no doubt about it. And I think the NRL know that. I think Todd Greenberg knows that, and he seems to be a fair enough leader in place at the moment that, you know, hopefully they can come up with a good deal that's fair for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's got some bite now, which is important. It's been a bit of a non-entity, unfortunately, the Rugby League Players Association, because of that lack of solidarity. But you get that feeling, Gal, that it's got some bite now.
I certainly get that feeling. I mean, I've been around for a long, long time. I've heard the speech at the start of the season from the RLPA many a time. You know, certainly, I'm a little bit more on the outside at the moment. I was certainly the last CBA I was involved with a lot of the meetings. I went to the NRL and did my best for the players and you know, didn't probably get the exact outcome we wanted, but it wasn't too bad. But this time I'm certainly sitting on the outside looking in, and as you said, I can certainly see a lot more bite with the people involved and a lot more push from a few of the people in there. And I think the biggest thing, as I said, is the players getting behind it, which is absolutely the most important thing that they need.
Well, it cuts both ways too, Gal, because I think if it's a genuine partnership with the game, then fantastic. But also that then comes back to player behaviour. And then players sanctioning players is the strongest deterrent, I think, to... You're always going to get some outliers, but... Players sanctioning players, I think that's a really strong way to keep everyone in check.
Yeah, certainly that's one way to look at it. But you've got to remember, with age between the ages of 18 to 35, as I am, and you're always going to run into a few issues with players on the way. But,
sure.
But as you said, hopefully, sure. If the players are pushing it and they're involved, and it is probably a bigger deterrent being spoken to by your teammates. And you know, sometimes the NRL seem to come down hard on players. And players aren't always happy with that. But you're right, if it does come from players, it may be a bit of a stronger message.
Mate, if you're a young player, 21-year-old, and you'd played 15 first-grade games and Cameron Smith rang you up and said, pull your head in, mate, you'd listen.
You'd like to think so.
Although the generation these days, they are...
Oh, really?
They're very special these days. I remember at training, when I first started training, and this is a good story, you know, and I'm not going to mention any names, obviously, but if there was a bloke not at my age when I first started, 18, 19, 20, mucking up and carrying, Chris Beattie or Andrew Pearce would grab you and dead set, put one on your chin, or certainly punch you in the stomach as hard as they could.
Yeah.
These days, if you did that to a young bloke, they'd run straight to the journals. there'll be a hoo-ha everywhere. So it's a different game these days. You've got to treat these young guys differently, that's for sure. But at the end of the day, they've got to produce on the field, which I think they are.
So who is the shark you'd most like to punch then, Gal?
No, there's no one at my team.
No, there never is.
No, I'm telling you, we've got a really good... I've never had an issue with anyone at my club my whole career. It's always been great. So there's certainly no one there at all.
Yeah. Yeah, Mick Ennis is retired now, so
Mick Ennis is gone.
Bo Ryan.
Oh, Bo Ryan was one. I got him.
That was a fairly good on you, Gal. Good luck against Newcastle, mate. They've been trying desperately hard, the Newcastle Knights. They'll put up a fight, but you should be too good for them. That's Saturday night and Saturday afternoon, I should be saying, 3 o'clock.
I said it also, it's Chris Hoyne's 300th game.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big deal, so fingers crossed everyone on the show I can get down and watch. And as you said, that they're trying their backside off Newcastle at the moment. And it could be a bit of a danger game unless we turn up the right attitude, and fingers crossed we do, because it's Hoyne surrounded. She'll get the win.
He's in the top five unsung heroes. Chris Hyington?
Certainly.
300 games.
Mate, he was a shot duck 5 years ago when he was at the West Tigers.
Got another premiership.
And then he's got another premiership. He's got 5 years out of his career and he's playing good footy. 300 is an amazing achievement.
An amazing one. Just keep in mind, I think the average career of an NRL player is something like 45 games. Yeah. So that shows you how good he's been in the forwards, by the way. Good on you, Gal.
Thanks, boys. See you later.
We'll try and chat with him, actually.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Later in the week. He's a good character, too.
He is.
He's a hard man and he's going through a real purple patch.